well, it's really good to be... Oh, sorry. I was told if you get a respite if I stand forward because you don't see me because there's other things coming on the screen which you may enjoy, and that would be good. It's really good to be with you in Darlingstown this morning. She'll go on to Marilyn in a little while with the rector, and just take part in your worship and maybe introduce a little bit of the Book of Acts. In just a moment or two. It was great to hear the mad professor there. I thought when he was adding up the books of the Bible, he was looking for the rector's age. And if not, he'd just take the hatchet to the rector. But, you know, you can sort of look for good things, can't you? But it is good. I want to take us through into the Acts of the Apostles this morning. You've been thinking about the Gospels and... Okay, we're going to think this morning about turning the world upside down, because that's what happened in the Acts of the Apostles. And if you sort of, you know, think of our world like that, it sits one way up, and, you know, you can sort of just see America there, guys. It's there. I was wondering quite where you were from, because the wee fella there had a Canadian badge on, and I thought, oh, they've come from the big part of North America. And... they'll know what I mean. And just want to make you feel at home here. I speak funny as well. As these lot know, I don't speak with their accent, but hey, who cares? Anyhow, if you turn the world upside down, then we'd be really in trouble because all the things we understand about our world and our creation would be really rocked if the South Pole was at the top and the North Pole was at the bottom and if the Americans were upside down. And everything would be so different. And that's what the Acts of the Apostles is about. Because they said in the Acts of the Apostles that these Christian people turned the world upside down. Now, at the end of the Gospels, and where you were over Good Friday and Easter in your last service that was sort of related with Jam, you were coming to the crucifixion of Jesus. Well, that wasn't the end of the story. Because the end of the story was that Jesus rose again from the dead on Easter Day. And after that, in the 40 days that followed, he kept appearing to people. And he didn't just appear to one or two odd disciples like Peter and John and so on, or Mary just. He appeared to ones and twos and twelves and 120 of them all at once. And that was phenomenal. And one morning, in one of them, near the end of the Gospels, the story says that he was there on the beach. And when he met them on the beach, they'd been out fishing because they were a bit confused, the disciples. They weren't sure what to be about. And they'd gone fishing because most of them fished. When they'd caught all, tried all night, they caught nothing. And they were sort of a bit miserable coming home that morning, as some fishermen are. When I see them, because they don't catch anything. I never did fishing because I never could catch a thing. But they came home, and as they came towards the shore, they saw this person. And what must have been really annoying was they had a fire and they had fish. So fishermen saw somebody else with fish, and they didn't have any fish. And there they were, and they sort of, the voice said, "Did you catch anything?" "Well, put your net on the other side of the boat," and they did. And then they realized it was Jesus. And so it was that Peter, who'd been fishing with nearly no clothes on, he suddenly wrapped his... Could you think of your rector? Not without any clothes. Don't do that. No, just think of your rector with all his fancy dress on that he wears in the other church. All that fancy dress. And he jumps off a boat into the water. Well, that was like Peter. He wrapped himself up in all his fancy dress, because it was all like that big pile of robes the rector wears, and he launched himself into the water, and he got ashore, and the boat came in. And there was Jesus. And the Bible tells us there were 153 fish. And I love that story, because I wonder who counted them. Just never could get past who counted them. But anyhow, they counted the fish. It was so great, and the net didn't break. And they had a fish supper for breakfast. And if you read the Bible, they got there before McDonald's. Because in the Bible, they got fish and bread for a wee fish sandwich before McDonald's ever thought of being healthy. And there they were, and they had that. And Peter and Jesus had a conversation, and Peter said, "Do you love me?" Or Jesus said to Peter, "Do you love me?" And Peter said, "Yes, Lord, you know." Because Peter knew he'd not been great. He'd sort of chickened out of owning up to following Jesus. And he asked him twice, and he asked him a third time. And Peter was getting a bit hurt. But three times Peter had chickened out of saying he knew Jesus. And so it was that Peter began to be the leader of the church. And things were going to change. So a few days later on, Jesus had already promised that the Holy Spirit would come on them. That things would be different. And suddenly, one morning, and we're going to think about it, and the rector, I'm sure the rector will be preaching about Pentecost in just a few weeks' time to all of us in the congregation and teach us a lot more about it. But suddenly the Holy Spirit came on these followers, and they've been a bit sort of frightened. But when the Spirit came, it was like I'm in fire on their head. And suddenly they were filled with confidence and power. And so the story began. And from being frightened, they became courageous. Or in little words, brave. Didn't think some of the ones under P7 would get courageous. So, brave. And they started talking about Jesus. And the thing they started talking about Jesus was about the fact that we need to believe on the Lord Jesus if we're going to be saved, which was the memory verse that we learned a little bit in that sort of strain. I really would have loved to have seen the rector doing that sort of anyhow, whatever it was. Mumbo or anyhow. So, Peter and John, in the reading that Harrison read for us, they went off and after Pentecost, they went into the temple, and as they went past, a guy asked them for money. And maybe that happens to you if you're in Lurgan or you're in Lisburn or you're in Belfast. Somebody says, "Would you give me money?" And they said, "We don't have any money." I haven't got one about the rector. And when they came down there, they hadn't got any money. They said, "In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk." And he did. And that really rocked the boat. And that really upset all the religious people because, you see, they believed in God, but they couldn't figure that Jesus could raise somebody up who was crippled, even though he'd been doing it for 3 years. And so the story continued because Peter and John got even braver, and when they brought them up in front of these sort of stern religious people, be a few here, and when they brought them up in front of all the stern religious, they said, "You can't do this." So they threw him in jail. And when they brought him back, they said, "You definitely can't do this in the name of this Jesus." And Peter and John said, "We're going to keep on doing it. We got to tell people about Jesus. We can't deny what this is about." And then the story moved on, and there was a man called Stephen. If you've got the name Stephen, you've got a really brave man's name, for Stephen was, he was a younger man, and he just started talking and discussing and convincing people by what he said that they should follow Jesus. And he did it right back at those miserable religious people. So much so that they started persecuting the followers of Jesus more, and they actually stoned Stephen. They took big bricks and rock. I was down in the Mourns yesterday. I'll be down there in a wee while because I've got 14 young people who are walking in the rain. And I need to go and pick them up. And, you know, there was really big rocks down in there. They're great. And some young people were pitching them into the rivers, you know. But they took these sort of rocks and they pitched them at Stephen until they killed him. And there was a man who was with them, and he was called Saul of Tarsus. And the whole church scattered. And when they scattered, one of the men who went in a different direction was a young man again called Philip. Got Philip, he's a great guy as well if you've got that name. Philip went off and he came alongside a guy in a chariot who was an Ethiopian man from another part of the world. And there alongside of me, this guy was reading the Bible. And sometimes it's pretty hard to understand. And as he came along, he said to him, "Do you understand that?" And the man said, "No." And he stopped the chariot. He got with him in the chariot and he explained. And that man followed Jesus and he got baptized. I think that's probably a bit small, that one. And the bottom loop there on down there from Jerusalem to Bethsura to Gaza was the route they were on at that moment in time. And because the Ethiopian was heading back to North Africa. But he told him about Jesus and he followed there. And then there was this guy called Saul. He was the one who had been there. He'd held all everybody's coat. You know when there's a fight in school, there's always a group of people stand around. They don't get involved too much, but they stand around like going, "Yeah, hit him, go on." Well, they stood around, and he held all the coats of all the others who were throwing the stones at Stephen. Well, Saul decided he was going to do a lot more. He was going to persecute the church. And so he got all sorts of letters from the chief Sadducees and Pharisees and high priests and all that. And he headed up the road to Damascus. And on the way, he got hit by a bright light and he got a voice that said to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Well, by that time, he was blind and he was on his knees. He said, "Lord." He said, "Yes, I'm Jesus who you're persecuting." And so it was that Saul got a new name for. He became Paul. And you'll learn about him a lot more in a minute, and then a lot later on when you get to the next bit in that whole thing with all them boxes on that came up, because it's the next one up and it says letters. He was a fella who wrote a lot. Today he would have tweeted phenomenally. So Saul becomes Paul, and he eventually is brought, because everybody was a bit worried about him because he'd been killing people who were Christians. They brought him to meet the church. So you can imagine somebody, you know, who'd been killing all the Christians coming in through the door here this morning. You know, I might think I might be under the pew. I wasn't there. Well, they brought him to church. And the church were convinced that this had become a different man. And so Paul became one of their greatest missionaries. And he and his friends traveled on a missionary journey, just like these guys have come here this morning. They've come all the way from the States, 3,000 miles and a bit. They didn't go by boat. They came probably by plane. They certainly didn't walk. I don't think you've got that yet, have you? So they went by boat all over. And Paul and his friend Silas and Barnabas and others, and they started to travel. And that's all the big picture of his missionary journeys. They're all up there. The first one, the second one, the third one. And up where it says Macedonia right at the top, they got to a place called Philippi. And that was one of the ways where a great incident happened for Paul. Because Paul had helped somebody follow Jesus there, and he got in all sorts of trouble. And so they threw him in jail. Now, I don't know if you threw us in jail, what we'd do. But these two guys, Paul and Silas, they started singing songs. You know, they'd have been out there. "God is, he's alive." You know, they'd have been singing with the band. And about midnight, there was an earthquake. And the poor old guy who was in charge of the prison, he was going to kill himself. Because if a prison warder let anybody escape, he was going to get killed anyhow. So he may as well do it himself. And Paul's going, "No, don't do it. Don't harm yourself. We're all still here." And every prisoner was there. Nobody escaped. And the jailer became a Christian. And this kept happening. Everywhere these guys went, right across the whole of what we now know as the Mediterranean, Cyprus, some of you have been there on your hulls, Turkey, Greece, Italy, Israel. Everywhere they went, people started following Jesus because these guys were so excited. And many followed them just because of Peter, Stephen, Philip, Paul, and their friends, and the other disciples too. The church grew and grew because people gave their lives to Jesus. Thousands followed. Things changed, but some people just didn't like it, so they persecuted them. That's why we got to Acts chapter 17. Paul and Silas were described as these men who've turned the world upside down. They'd surprised so many people. Things were so different than they had been before because people were following Jesus and doing new ways, things, and they were changing things as they went out and about. And people from every race across the whole of the south of Europe and then beyond it, every race and background started to follow Jesus, and for the last 2,000 years they still have, because that's where the church began. And people all around our world still today follow Jesus and tell others of him. Our naughty professor may have got the Acts wrong. But an axe is very sharp. And these guys were very sharp. They started telling people about the thing that transformed their life. And people are still doing it. And I hope, boys and girls, that you will also want to follow Jesus right here. That you'll want to say that you want to believe in him and how much he loved you. And that you want to be that person who follows him too. And that you'll go and tell other people about him. And the older ones who've been sort of listening, thinking, yeah, the pictures are for the kids. It's about us as well. It's about us following Jesus. It's about us taking our faith out through that door and into that street and into this village and into our work and into everything we do. The disciples and others, followers of Jesus, they had a great message of God's gift to everyone in our world. And we have that message as well. And people are still following Jesus. I started that when I was 10, 11 years old, just like some of these wee ones here. In my own church was where I started following Jesus, because I understood that he loved me. Me. I'm not the best Christian in the world, but I'm still following him. And that's coming up to 50 years ago. We still have a message that changes lives, just like they did. Well, my wee jam friends, my two jammy friends on the screen said the best thing of all to say thanks to God for is his son, Jesus. And I hope this morning we can say thank you for Jesus, and that we can go from here to live for him, to follow him, and to be a church that grows and transforms this place, this village, this area. Because that's what they did. They took Jesus with them where they were. Lots of people didn't like it. Well, tough. We need to just tell people about Jesus, because they will change. Because Jesus still comes into their lives today. Jesus, that was the message of the Acts. The Acts were the things that they did. We've got to be a church that is Acts as well. We've got to go and do it and be Christians today. I hope that we will do just that when we leave.